If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we have got 99 problems, but 2016 ain't one. Welcome to our 99th episode and our last episode of 2016, Building Bridges.
More like
burning bridges.
Oh, yeah, that's up there. 16.
This is the end of 2016, and a lot has happened. There's been a lot of people out there talking about fuck 2016, a lot of anger and upsetness about 2016.
There were challenging things.
Some challenging things. A lot of people dying in 2016, yes.
Alan Rickman.
Many sad deaths.
And this is kind of all we're hearing about right now. Is this negative stuff in the election, all this negative stuff about 2016. But what we would like to do is to encourage all of you and ourselves, and we're going to practice what we preach and try to do this for you, is that I would bet in most of your lives, there were also good things that happened in 2016. There were also good things that happened in the poly community in 2016, and there were good things that happened for Multiamory in 2016. So we want to talk about those things and focus on what good happened in 2016, and then in our next episode, which will be our 100th episode.
Wow.
Yeah, and our first episode of 2017. That's crazy how it's almost like we planned that timing,
it's
except we totally did not.
We did not.
20 Yeah. No, that didn't work.
20 better teen? 20...
We haven't named... Yeah.
We haven't named 2017.
26 sexentine.
But we're not there yet, guys. We're not there yet. We need to stay in the present and talk about 2016, building bridges, more like burning bridges, a.k.a. 2016.
Okay, so before we tackle 2016, just a couple of announcements first. We have, in 2017, the Multiamory West Coast Tour taking place in February. So that's going to be February 7th through the 15th-ish.
Ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Might go a little bit later than that for LA and San Diego, actually.
Yeah, so we're going to be coming to various cities along the West Coast. We're coming to San Diego, to Los Angeles, to San Francisco, to Berkeley, to Portland, to Seattle. So if you guys want to know more information about that, check out our events page, multiamory.com/events, to stay up to date with that. Another great way to stay up to date for when tickets do go on sale is to sign up for our newsletter. So if you just go to our website, on our homepage, you can sign up for our newsletter, and then you can get, you know, all the information about the tour as it gets released. And I guess something else that's exciting for this episode is our Christmas present to you.
No ads. You're welcome.
We'll give you a little break. I know it's in the middle of the holiday season, and
You're bombarded with everything.
Advertising.
Yes.
More so than it even usually is. Yeah. So we'll give you a little break from advertisements.
Yeah, totally. Well, shall we get into... Let's talk about 2016.
So let's review the year for Multiamory.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So, as far as our numbers go, it's crazy when you look at our analytics and just, like, look at the past year, how much our listener base has grown.
Right.
It's crazy.
How much your guys' support and sharing this, and, you know, writing reviews, like, spreading the word, how much that's, like, hugely influenced the amount of people downloading our show and... getting this information. It's really like, it's been a really inspiring year for me. Throughout the year, every time we've checked on that stuff, it's just like, wow, like people actually care about this.
It's growing at a rapid pace, which is fantastic.
Just to give you a sense of that, you know, in January 2016, at the beginning of this year, we had like 3,000 downloads per month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And now in November, we're still obviously tallying up the numbers for December, but in November we had 14,000 downloads per month.
Right. From 3,000 to 14,000 a month.
You know, so it's just been, and obviously we're still a small podcast, but just our listener base is so awesome, and the people that we've connected to in our audience have been so good. And it's just really motivated us to keep growing this podcast over the past year. What were some other things that happened for Multiamory in 2016?
Well, right at the beginning of 2016, 2015 is when we made the Beginner's Guide.
Yeah.
Which is a page on our site where we try to compile episodes of ours and blog posts and things like that that are specifically helpful to people just starting out in polyamory.
All the poly noobs out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't worry, we were that once as well.
And sometimes
we still are.
Oh yeah, like all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a fun thing that we created mm-hmm. this year, because there were a lot of people who come and are like, shit, you have 99 episodes. Where do I start, right? I'm new to this. Yeah. So to try to help give a guide of like, oh, if you want stuff about jealousy, look at these ones. If you want things about, you know, scheduling or communication, go here. Or safe sex, go check this out. So that's cool.
We also switched over to the Swing Set Network, which is Cooper S. Beckett's network.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you again to Dan and Don of the
Erotic Awakening
yes. Network. Yes, you guys were awesome. But then we switched over to Cooper's network, mm-hmm. and we're very happy with that family there.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, yeah. We also recently got the blog up and running, for those of you that haven't noticed.
Mm-hmm.
After I came back from the deep black hole that is writing a book. I was finally able to
crawl out.
Yeah,
well.
I like crawled out and escaped, and then finally had energy to write other things. Mm-hmm. We're super happy about that. We have our guest contributor Walker, who's been writing blogs for us. Mm-hmm. He's just an amazing writer, and we're so happy to be providing a platform for his words and thoughts. So.
And he's also a great friend,
and also a great
he's
guy,
lovely.
A great guy all around.
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't checked it out, you know, go to multiamory.com/blog. You can read what's going on there. What else did we do in
Patreon?
2016?
Patreon.
We launched our Patreon in this year. Thank you all so much who contribute to that. We're really excited for that to keep growing and to be able to bring you more amazing things
to
other parts of the country.
Yeah.
Or
and
the
I
world.
Say, kind of the side effect of having the Patreon is that we got to really actually connect to our listeners in this really personal way. I was trying to think, I was like, how did we connect with people last time? It was like just like the occasional email and like on Twitter, you know, Twitter shout outs. But now, you know, with the Patreon, since it allowed us to create our private Facebook-only discussion group and our, you know,
monthly video discussion group,
exactly, that it's really enabled us to actually meet the people that listen to us and actually have a dialogue with them and actually get their feedback on episodes and actually, you know, incorporate the things that they think would be good for our podcast and actually make that happen. So I think that's been my favorite part.
And also the fact that because that Patreon community is, you know, a slightly smaller community, and like people that we know really care about the content and want to support the show. Like we've also met some of those people in person
now, not just
online, that when we're in other cities, we might meet up with them, or if they're going to be in LA, that's been really amazing too.
Yeah.
Like just to feel like, you know,
you guys are our friends as well. Exactly. Like we truly know you guys,
so
and that's
cool.
really lovely. Because you're an awesome group of people.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you are.
So other stuff, like we talked about the tour.
Yeah.
We've been planning that, which is terrifying and overwhelming, but also really exciting.
To a city near you.
And also that we this kind of falls into 2017, but the invites for it fell into 2016. Next month, we're going to be leading a discussion group that's one of the bigger discussion groups in LA that happens every month. We're really excited about that. Invited to be keynote speakers at a poly retreat in California. And we want to start doing more of that as well, possibly in your part of the world as well.
If you are listening to this and you're in the LA area or the greater LA area, check out our events page. There'll be more details on our events page of, you know, how you can kind of get invited to that particular group if you do want to take part in the discussion group or in going on this weekend retreat that we're going to be helping to facilitate.
Totally. Both of which are almost sold out, but
yes.
go check it out anyway. Awesome. Cool. So what next? Do we want to expand out to talk about the whole
It was a big year for polyamory just in 2016 in the media, more exposure in the media.
It's interesting because just now when I was, you know, looking over Alan M's awesome site, you know, Poly in the Media, and looking at the kind of stories that are getting media coverage about polyamory, and still like a lot of it is still a lot of the same of like, what polyamory?
Look at this crazy thing.
You know, how do people do this? Like, it's still a lot of that, which
is
still
good.
It's still good. You know, it's still good exposure. But that I think this is the first year where I am starting to see trickle in some stories that kind of take it to the next level. Stories about how, about issues of race and diversity in the poly community.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like kind of taking it to the next level beyond just intro coverage to polyamory, but into like, you know, more complex topics, more philosophical topics.
I've seen a number of articles just in this last year about polyparenting.
Yes, that too. But that
we're not just like, look at this scandalous, weird thing. Some that were actually just like, this you know, group thinks that raising kids this way offers them more benefits, and then kind of cover that. And it's still a little bit, you know, of course people are going to read it to be like, what is this crazy shit? This is horrible. But just that there's been more coverage of it and more awareness has actually been a huge step, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
We also, more exposure in the media, also characters on shows.
Yeah, there's been a lot more this year, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my impression.
There's the show You, Me, Her that came out on the show Shameless. Well, so You, Me, Her is about a triad, kind of. Yeah. And it's, you know, again, with all these poly representations in the media, is not necessarily ideal.
I mean, I guess you have to create conflict.
But you gotta, exactly.
Well, so. But I think it's also, you have to portray something that is as close looking to monogamy as possible.
Or else it's not gonna
be. Well, it's kind of like you have to create these characters that are like this hetero couple so that people can relate to it.
Yeah, it's not gonna be relatable otherwise.
Yeah.
Right. And it's also, you know, being a little bit of a caricature. And the parallel I kind of draw is if you think about, like, early gay characters on TV.
Yeah, totally.
I would say it's only very recently that we've started having gay characters who are gay,
who
but...
like Will and Grace.
Who aren't a stereotype, right?
Yeah.
Who are just kind of like, oh, whatever, that character's gay, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Polly's not there yet, right?
Because
it's much newer. So, you know, that they might play them up to be a little more like... spacey out there, or, you know, kind of some
hippie,
of those
whatever,
some kind of stereotype about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is a little bit of that, but the fact that it's out there at all, that it's a whole show,
it's
a whole show about
it, right?
On the show Shameless, a thruple kind of formed in that.
So I have a question though.
Yeah.
I mean, because I feel like the gay community first coined thruple.
What's the difference between triad and thruple?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, is there actually a difference between triad and thruple, or...
As far as I understand, there's not.
They're
just terms, like, whoever thinks one's cuter than the other.
Well, because there's, like, a V, which is different than a triad.
Yeah.
Or, well, different than a...
Well, Jace would argue that.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. It depends on, what you would call it.
Yeah. So...
what your definition of it is.
Right. But anyway, like, that happened on Shameless, which is a much bigger show than You, Me, Her, which is on a cable network. There's also other things like House of Cards.
Yeah, there was
a big thing everyone was talking
cards.
About this year.
It was a president doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll be the day.
And Robin Wright, who I want to be in my poly triad.
Robin Wright
for
definitely
sure.
can join any polycule of
Yeah, are you kidding me? Oh, my
Holy
God.
Holy crap, yes. And on the show The Magicians, which I can be nerdy about. Love that show. I'm excited for season 2 to come out soon. But on The Magicians, one of the students' parents turn out to like the kid is all like worried about their parents having this affair or something.
Oh.
And are like, wait, mom, like you, like dad, you're hanging out with this guy, but I thought that like led to your, like this was bad thing. Like mom had been cheating with him or whatever. And they're like, no, we're all cool. And it's like more of a swingers thing, but still just that's kind of more part of this, like, you know, and it was something where like the daughter had a really hard time accepting it and was upset about it, but it was still this, it was presented, it was something they had to deal with, and then her friends were sort of like, that's kind of cool, actually, like your parents are cool, and she's like, no,
totally.
I can't handle it, right? But there's at least those other voices out there, and I feel like also just shows like Community has made lots of references to polyamory.
Oh, have
it? It's also more in like a making a joke,
like a joke
out of it.
Way?
I mean, that show kind of makes a joke out of everything.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it's becoming this word that more and more people know, I found like just in this last year,
definitely.
It feels to me like way more people are aware of this word and the fact that it can show up in media.
Yeah.
What's that other show? The musical one.
My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Right, on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, there's a poly triad that they're talking to at one point.
Oh!
And it's interesting, so they, like, have a conversation with this poly triad, and she's like, oh, so it's like this and this and this, and they're like, no, actually, it's not. It's like this, and they do actually a pretty good job of, like, reasonably explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes off on her whole fantasy of, like, what it would look like, and it's totally a terrible version of it, but which is kind of her whole character's thing.
Do you think that there's going to be this continuing trend of people associating polyamory just with group relationships, or just with multi-person relationships, rather than, you know, like, know. Multiple
like
dyads?
Single,
like,
yeah.
I do feel like that is more the trend, yeah.
So that's my thing, is if polyamory enters the public psyche, and it only gets associated with, like, people who are in triads or quads or something like that, can then we inject multi-amory into the public psyche as well, to distinguish that multi-amory is, like, an intimate network, not necessarily just specifically a big group relationship.
Yeah, huh. That's
goals
cool.
for 2017. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Where will the media take us next year?
Uh-huh. Right. I know. Well, also in other news, like with bisexual becoming.
Oh yeah.
That Crazy Ex-Girlfriend also has a bisexual male character.
Oh, right. That's awesome.
And that's also a big deal because a lot of shows will have bisexual characters like Frank Underwood in House of Cards, but they never use the word bisexual.
Yeah.
But the fact that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend sang a whole song called Getting By about, you know, him kind of coming out of this. And it's comedy, so it's silly and funny, but it's a big deal that's becoming more of a common thing.
Nice. That's really cool.
And that we were just learning that, like, the best-selling stuff in young adult fiction right now is trans. It's, like, one of the, like, big niches that are coming up is trans.
Yeah, we were just
stories.
Talking with my literary agent.
Yeah.
He was talking about that.
Yeah. Also, non-gender conformative people like came to the forefront a little bit more this year.
Trans rights really entered the public focus.
Yeah.
You know, everything going down with all the bathroom bills in North Carolina and all that. Yeah.
But just that we're all becoming more aware of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 People like see that it has a place and it matters. So that's awesome.
Definitely.
What
else
has happened? Okay,
Cupid. They created a couple linking feature.
Yeah, it was kind of a controversial thing because OkCupid historically has been the place that I think has been the most accepting of poly people and people of, you know, people who are not in the gender binary, you know, people of varying sexualities and sexual identities. And so initially it was like this excitement of like, oh my God, OkCupid now officially supports polyamory.
Right.
You can link your profile to other partners. The problem is that you can only link your profile to one other partner.
Right.
You know?
So it's more of like an open relationship kind of thing than a polyamory thing.
Yeah.
So it was this kind of mix. Like our reaction was a little more negative where we were like, I kind of liked it.
They kind of missed the point a little bit.
The year before they added the feature of specifying that you're monogamous or non-monogamous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a cool feature.
Yeah.
But then this thing was sort of this weird, like, almost, to me, it was almost a step backwards. And I know we're trying to be positive about 2016, but the positive side of it is that there was a lot of press about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like, hey, this dating site that's one of the most popular ones in the U.S., at least, is now like officially supporting recognizing
people in a relationship may date separately.
That's good. So that's been really cool.
Yeah. We also got some celebrities who were actually open about their non-monogamous relationships.
Yeah.
Like Shirley MacLaine, for instance.
Is she with Warren Beatty?
I don't think she would be anymore.
I'm bad on my celebrity gossip.
Oh God, you would know better than we would. Shirley MacLaine, she apparently talked to Oprah a couple of years back about her open marriage, but it kind of got some more press this time around. She went on a radio interview and said, like, that was her suggestion for a long-lasting marriage, was don't be non-monogamous.
Yeah. Wow.
And keep in mind, the thing with Shirley MacLaine is that she has been doing this open marriage thing since, like, the 60s and the 50s, 60s. Like, she's been in non-monogamous relationships way before it was ever remotely acceptable
before the term polyamory existed.
Before even the term open marriage actually existed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, open marriage didn't enter the lexicon until like the 60s, 70s when the O'Neills, these researchers, published a book called Open Marriage.
I see. Wow.
And fun fact, sorry, this is getting off into a trivia tangent. Can I go on a trivia tangent?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So they published this book based on their research called Open Marriage. Mm-hmm. However, like their definition of an open marriage was just one where like you support each other and there's good communication and you're comfortable stepping outside of gender roles.
Okay.
So for them, it was all about like breaking away from these traditional expectations of marriage. They had one section in the book where they talked about how it also means, you know, developing your support network and being comfortable getting close to people outside of your marriage. Like
They didn't necessarily mean it.
They didn't necessarily mean it like go have sex with other people, but people like really picked up on that part and ran with it.
Interesting.
And then the term open marriage became associated with
that.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. No, she's married to Steve Parker, who is a, it looks like a producer, but they've been married and divorced according to IMDb, and now they're in an open marriage.
Well,
yeah. They were divorced in 1982.
Oh, I see. So they've gotten back together now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Shirley MacLaine. So again, like she's been doing it a long time, but got some press this year. And then also Monique, who we've talked about before.
Yeah.
That Monique not only got a lot of press earlier this year in talking once again about her longstanding open marriage to Sidney Hicks, or open relationship with Sidney Hicks, and that she started.
I think they're married. I think it's an open marriage.
Are they married? Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
I think so.
They started their podcast this year, which is called Monique and Sidney's Open Relationship.
I love that.
So they don't really talk a lot about non-monogamy. They talk about it a little bit. They talk about all kinds of things.
Right. The premise of their show is it's just them kind of talking
kind of
about,
the shit about
whatever.
Things. And she says, come on, a lot whenever he's on a roll, which I want to adopt.
Right. So in their very first episode, which I actually do recommend checking out, their very first episode is specifically about their open marriage, kind of the history of that. Like, you know, they dispel a lot of those myths, like where the press would say things like, oh, you know, Monique is like allowing herself to be taken advantage of.
Like giving her husband a free pass to cheat.
Oh, right. God. Stuff like that. Yeah. And Monique on the show being like, you know, people say that because, you know, he's gorgeous and I'm a bigger woman.
Oh.
Like, she's like, but I'm the celebrity. Like, I was the one on tour, like, having any guys I wanted.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. You know?
She's like, this was my idea from the beginning.
Exactly.
Just, so that was
That's
a really
amazing.
Cool episode to check out.
Yeah.
And then other than that, they also talk about a lot of other issues. You know, specifically race comes up a lot.
Of course.
In terms of, you know, Hollywood and the entertainment industry, and also just kind of the world in general.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out if you haven't already.
Sweet.
Yeah.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store, and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI. So.
Yeah.
Now, the news.
What? Sorry.
You're scared.
Sorry, the jet lag is still here, you guys. It's still fine.
It's still in my brain. For those of you who are actually watching this episode, Dedeker Winston is in the living room.
I'm in the house.
Us.
I'm literally
She's
in
here.
The house.
She is
it's amazing.
So exciting. Truly in the house.
Yes.
We got to actually have an in-person cuddle session.
Yeah,
before
it was great.
Like,
not, awesome. Not just a
Fantastic.
Skype cuddle session.
Yeah.
Exactly.
through the ether.
Yes. Yeah. So I've been super excited to have Dedeker back in town.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
It's been amazing.
Good.
And we just went yesterday to go watch Emily sing Christmas carols
yes.
at Disneyland.
Yes. That was fun.
It was amazing. So toward the end of the episode, we all wanted to share a little bit about what this year has meant for us, personally. Who wants to go first?
Oh, God.
I mean, I'll hop in. I can
hop
in.
You do it.
I mean, it certainly wasn't the easiest year.
No, it wasn't?
But also, like, a lot of amazing things happened. Like, I finished my book manuscript. Like, I did this thing I never in my life thought that I would do. And like, it feels so good. Like, I feel so accomplished. I feel so happy and so fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I'm just like really excited to actually share it with people.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to read it.
Already, yeah. Like the couple people that I've like given the PDF copy to, anytime they give me any kind of feedback, it's just like so interesting to, I don't know, to see it through other people's eyes and see the different things that other people get out of it has been so cool.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably my highlight of 2016.
Of course. Sure. That's a big one.
I took the JLPT, this crazy hard Japanese test.
Right.
And I almost passed it. By 10 points. But still, I'm still like really happy that I did that.
Great.
And that I pulled that off. And obviously traveled to a bunch of different places.
Yeah.
Did a ton of traveling.
Became a Turkish movie star.
Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about that.
I haven't shared this on
her dream,
I haven't shared this on the podcast.
No, you haven't. Like,
yeah. But yeah, so I was living in Istanbul for 5 months this year, and I got picked up by a Turkish talent agency and was in big budget Turkish films and commercials. And so I haven't picked up my Turkish movie star name yet, but
I see.
You got to figure that out.
There's a Turkish name, a woman's name, Didem, which is probably the closest I can get to Didem. Didem is good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I like Didem. Into it.
That's cool.
Anyway, nice. I think those were my main highlights for 2016.
Yeah,
it's big.
Yeah. What about you guys?
I can't really easily follow all of that at all. I don't know. I started some new relationships with some lovely people ladies. That's pretty
people
cool.
Ladies.
People ladies.
Yeah. Well, one of them is like non-gender specific.
As opposed to dog ladies.
That's why I'm saying like people ladies. People and ladies.
Yep.
And kind of explored my queerness more, which I've really, really appreciated and enjoyed. Traveled with my primary partner and my mother, and went to Bulgaria
with
Dedeker.
Yeah, you guys did your yoga week.
A ton of yoga. It was so, so fun. Was in a play, did more caroling, did some modeling. I mean, it was good. Worked constantly, like 87,000 jobs. I know, but and Josh says that to me sometimes. He's like, did you work more or less when you lived in the Valley? And I'm like, less, definitely. I mean, it's more expensive living in Santa Monica, but
sure.
I want to, my goal for 2017 is to work better, but not more.
Yep.
Work smarter,
it's not
more.
Harder.
Yeah, not harder,
totally.
Exactly.
That's
so
great.
I need some time back. I bought a car. That was cool. So I'm adulting more, I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was not a bad year, even though a lot of challenging things happened.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good year.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, see, I mean, for me, I started 2016 in Japan with Dedeker. And so if I kind of count that whole Japan trip, that I went from kind of always loving Japan and being interested in it, and had started learning a little bit of Japanese because Dedeker spoke some of it, and so I started learning a little because I was like, oh, that's cool, and I enjoy languages. Going from that to having been in Japan for 3 months out of the past 13 months, and to taking a lower level JLPT test myself just a few weeks ago.
Do you know if you passed it again?
I won't find out till late February.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of don't think I did. We'll see. But what I found is when I got done with the reading section of that, I had this thought of 6 months ago, even last time I was in Japan, I could not have read this much Japanese all in one sitting and not just
What the hell?
I don't understand any of this, right? So it was just really cool to see that kind of progress in learning a language, which is something that I really enjoy. Gosh, what else? Relationships coming and going, of course. But also my relationships with the two of you, really stabilizing and deepening and stuff like that, which has been really awesome.
Jay said something funny the other day. He said that we're an emotional triad. We're still in this emotional triad relationship.
Right. Just in terms of getting to share with each other and support each other and all that. That it's really, and that's something that's really meant a lot to me. And I feel like it's become more and more kind of grounded and stable over time, especially in this last year, which had a lot of changes, right? Involved moving around and traveling and all this. For me, also, my exciting achievement is that I finally...
Anyone who's watching this, just don't. Okay.
Oh, Emily's moved.
Oh. Jace can't hug me.
I can't hug you because of my headphones.
It's okay, I'll do that.
His headphones are like, I can't. Yeah.
My other exciting thing is that I finally got out of credit card debt that I've had
that's awesome.
For many, many years.
My turn next.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus.
basically, that I've had since a little before I moved to LA and then got into more of it after moving to LA.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I finally got out of that, which feels really good. Mm-hmm. It hasn't quite sunk in yet, but that's been really exciting.
Yay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And having this podcast keep growing like this has been hugely important. And I'm so excited for 2017.
Yeah.
Of like, where can we go next, right?
No, we're starting out 2017 with a bang, like,
right.
Yeah. Doing discussion groups and
retreats. The retreat and the tour.
And like, everything, oh my god.
Yeah.
That'll be so fun to see kind
of
how
the back half of the year is going to be like, what? I didn't even know we can top the front half of the year.
Oh, I think we could.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we gotta try it.
All up from here, baby.
As long as we can keep it growing, that's when we do our East Coast tour.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And then we do our European tour.
I would love to do that shit.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah,
that would be
so
super
much.
Cool.
Totally.
We do have some European and beyond followers, so thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. To keep growing the discussion groups that we have those keep going.
Could we do like the Multi-Emory cruise?
Dude, that would be so good.
Can you imagine?
Oh my god.
What if we put together like a poly-friendly cruise? They do swingers cruises all the freaking time.
They do?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. All the time.
No, that'd be awesome.
See those.
Yeah, no, swingers cruises
very
are
often,
a thing.
But
yeah.
Like,
well,
lifestyle cruises.
Well, this is a good teaser for what we're going to be talking about next week on our 100th episode, our first episode of 2017, where we're going to be talking about resolutions.
Yeah.
And not in the typical way that you've heard before, that's just about kind of goal setting or like all the bullshit that's on Twitter of hashtag relationship goals, right? We're not talking about that. We're going to kind of get into more of the meaty stuff and really looking at ways to take things like New Year's resolutions and combine them with things like Agile Scrum that we talked about a few episodes ago and combining that with how you negotiate your agreements and your types of relationships. So we're really excited for all that stuff. So stay tuned. Check it out next week in the new year.
Yay.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. And we love you guys so much. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for helping to grow this show. To our Patreon people especially, thank you for being so intimate and open with us.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
It's really incredible. Yeah. We so appreciate it. And it's because of you that we keep doing this. So.
Now, I have to say, anytime I get a Patreon notification that like someone's donated at the $5 level, and they're going to be added to the Facebook group, I'm never like, oh hey, $5. I'm like, oh my god, like a new person that we can talk
like,
to, and like,
club.
Like I wonder
that's
what
awesome.
Their story is. Like I can't wait to ask them questions. Like,
yeah.
If you guys want to get in touch with us, you can email us at info@multiamory.com. You can tweet at us @multiamory. You can find us at patreon.com/multiamory. You can find us on Instagram @multiamory_pod. Podcast. Anything that you guys send to us, we do read. We're not so big-headed yet that we can't even read your comments.
We'll give it to our assistant.
Any emails you send us, we do try to respond to personally as much as we can. So reach out to us, let us know how you're doing, what are you thinking, what your resolutions might be for the new year. We'd love to know. And we will see you next week in 2017.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. See you then.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.